Shalom Aleichem, Aboisai. It should be a Freilich in Lag Ba'Omer of Simcha and Aliyah, Mitzvah Hashem. We are moving along in Maral. But you know what? Maybe we'll start by just making a couple of comments about Lag Ba'Omer. Lag Ba'Omer is a little bit of an esoteric day, a little bit vague. In a general way, we see two themes to Lag Ba'Omer. We see what it says in Halacha, what we might call more the Derech HaPshat, that it's the day that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva ceased to die. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim, and they died in an epidemic. And on Lag Ba'Omer, it ended, and Rabbi Akiva had to start anew, and he began with a new 5 Talmidim, who later became, after Rabbi Akiva, the fathers of our Mishnayos. Well, this is very strange, because we say the Talmidim stopped dying. What that means is that all 24,000 died. The last one died. There was nobody left to die. So, what are we celebrating, that they stopped dying? That's it. The last one died. Okay, let's lay that aside for a moment. But whatever it is, that's the one element of Simcha that we have on Lag Ba'Omer. The other element is famously the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This was a day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai attributed much importance. There's some controversy about whether it's actually his Yotzeit or not, but whatever the case is, this was a day when he apparently received Rishus to reveal many of the great secrets that he had been receiving and that he had and was ready to make available to the world of Jewry. We know that the very great revelations happened on the day that he died, and okay, that's already the subject for academic study, whether Lag Ba'Omer was actually the day of his Yahrzeit or just the day that he received Rishus. But whatever it is, that's the theme. So it's like two separate themes. So just to briefly note points of significance that we can perhaps get out of understanding the Simcha of this day on each track. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the truth is, I once heard a Talmud Chacham asked, okay, you make a very big deal about the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If you're a Mekubal, if you're not a Mekubal, so what is the significance to you if you're not in the world of Zohar and Kabbalah? So he said, well, not much. But I would perhaps suggest that actually we all benefit from the revelations of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, even if we are not actually in the world of Kabbalah and learning Zohar. What Zohar really did for us, and this is something that we all benefit from by now, is give us an appreciation of the inner value of who we are and what we're doing. We might say in a big way, that's much of what Maharal has been doing. All of our limud of Maharal, gaining a deeper understanding of what the neshama of a Jew is and what the significance of a mitzvah is, etc., rather than you were told, just do it. But to be given glimpses into really what the magnitude, what the immensity of it is, this was handed to us by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the theme of Zohar. It's discussing the inner workings of the Jew, of the Torah, of the mitzvahs. And we may say that this is what we're celebrating on this day. Now, back to the question of Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. That is something that has to be discussed, but you know what? I don't want to get into that now. I want to move ahead in Maharal. So we'll leave that hanging for now. Okay, let's come back to Maharal. We are moving, kind of straddling the 8th and 9th perek. Now, the Maharal here is refining and refining the points he's been making earlier in presenting us with his very beautiful picture of us and our world and our connection with the Torah and Hashem. Now, I'm going to have to express, even more than I've expressed this a number of times, that I am paraphrasing Maharal according to what I feel that I can be grasping from his very esoteric discussions. And yeah, what he's doing now is continuing to refine what he's been discussing now. Now I want to preface tonight's points with a little incident that my grandmother liked to relate. That when she was a young woman, so she was once at a simcha, and her father saw her deliberating whether she should have ice cream or not. Well, they served ice cream. And she was deliberating whether she should have it or not. Diet considerations, chleis. And her father said to her, have some. Give your neshama a treat. So she said to him, she said, Papa, I have to confess, this is not really about the neshama, it's about the goof. But her father persisted and he said, I know, but they're married to each other. They're married to each other. She liked to tell this story. This is, I believe, what is behind the points that Maharal is continuing to develop now. Maharal has been hammering into our minds, has been banging into our head, the understanding that you are your neshama, you're operating on the level of the neshama, the mitzvahs are affecting the neshama. Don't try to put them into a limited framework of our world, of the physical. It's not about the body, it's not about what it's doing for you on any level in this world. It's what the mitzvahs are effecting on the much higher realms, what they're making out of your neshama. Right? And therefore he was resisting the tendency to read certainly physical benefits, but even moral benefits into mitzvahs. It doesn't have to be a benefit that we can understand. It's operating with our neshama, it's affecting our neshama on levels that are above us. Now here, the Maharal comes and does something of an about-face. I won't call it an about-face, I'll call it a refining of the concept. A refining of the concept. The Maharal says that, according to what he's saying, it might even sound a little funny. We're saying that these are really all about very, very divine, high-up purposes. So does that mean that, for example, the mitzvah of tzedakah? Mitzvah of tzedakah seems like a very, very straightforward mitzvah of compassion. Are we going to say that now that we learned Maharal, we understand that no, not so. Compassion is entirely coincidental. The mitzvah of tzedakah is really achieving things in much higher places. And it might not have anything to do with compassion. There are a number of very mitzvahs that seem to have very, very straightforward moral points. Are we going to deny that that's really their point and say, no, these are all chukim, we don't understand and they're above us? Tefillah, are we going to say that it's not about expanding our spiritual consciousness? It's not about expanding our, developing our sense of connection. Doesn't matter if we feel connected or not. The main thing is that it is doing things for our neshama up above. If it happens to make you feel connected, if it happens to expand your spiritual consciousness, fine, but that's not really the point. Are we going to deny the nature of tefillah, the character of tefillah, as a mitzvah that's meant to, who, as we are now, to develop us spiritually in a physical sense, in terms of our experience in this world? Kibud of aim. He says this has nothing to do with a moral concept of respecting your parents. And Geneva, Gezela, are all these things we say, no, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's wrong. There are secret esoteric mitzvahs that have much higher purposes, murder, etc. If you sense that it's wrong as a human being, that's really not the point. Are we really saying that? Like all of these different moral messages are coincidental? So the Maharal says no. And here's where he's making something of an about, something of a concession. He's saying we definitely do have mitzvahs that are clearly with the character or for the purpose of, if I should use the word as purpose of, but they are what they're doing is, yes, providing us with moral and ethical benefits. Yes, there are such mitzvahs. And how does that fit in with the whole theme that we've been discussing, that really it's all about affecting the neshama, etc.? So here we get to a point where we see that there are layers. There are layers. And in order to understand this, let's understand another thing. If everything we've been talking about up till now was about the neshama, is the body really just not a part of this system? It's just a tool? Or is the body really an inherent part of this system? So now you understand why I brought in that mashal. The body, the neshama and the body are married to each other, which means that it's not just, the fact, truth is that, in a sense, some of the Sfarim say that the body is like an office that you're given to work in. But the truth is that it's more than that. The body is a part of who you are. It's not the essential part of who you are. It's not the main part of who you are. But it is a part of who you are. And your body also is meant to be a part of that system of merging with Hashem. Meaning, when we talk about the neshama and we talk about the body, it's not just that the neshama was stuck into a coarse container. That's true. That is what the reality of the body is. But it's not just that. It's not just that it was stuck into a coarse container for this particular purpose. But the idea is, part of the purpose is, can the body and the neshama really merge? Can the body become elevated to an extent that it actually becomes a fitting partner for the neshama? It'll always be a junior partner. It'll always be an inferior partner. The neshama will be the radiant, vibrant part of the relationship. Even though, you know, we don't experience it that way now. Right now, we primarily experience our body. But ultimately, we will be our neshama. Our experience will be our neshama. But the body will be a part of it also. The body will be an element of that existence. The Ramchal talks about this, how the ultimate purpose is not necessarily Olam Haba. Olam Haba is an intermediary stage before the neshama and body are rejoined. Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's really the ultimate existence. The body is also processed by this system of mitzvahs. It's not just the neshama. The mitzvahs that are above the realm of the physical, everything we've been discussing up till now, what we call the chukim, are geared only at the neshama. But then, yes, there are the mitzvahs that are in the realm of the body, that are for the purpose of enhancing the body, that are for the purpose of enhancing our consciousness, our moral character here in this world, for the purpose of making us also on the physical level something that can be a part of that system, that can be a fit for the neshama. And on the contrary, the idea is we don't want it to be two distinct entities, neshama and body. We want to, to make the dividing line between them less distinct. We want the body to naturally merge into what the neshama is. And the classic example of this, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Mamish, his face was shining with the radiance of the neshama. Eliyahu HaNavi became mamish aphysical. But the truth is that this is what all of us are meant to be doing with our bodies as well. We're meant to be taking, not just using our body to affect the neshama, but also we have mitzvahs that are geared toward refining the body, making the body into something more kaddish, more spiritual, more elevated, by taming its coarse instincts, by developing in it more godlike qualities. And therefore, yes, the mitzvah of tzedakah is there not just for the benefit of the neshama, but for the benefit of taking you and your personality, your personality in this world, and making it something more compatible with Hashem, i.e., which goes together with, more compatible with the neshama. And therefore, yes, we have many mitzvahs. Mitzvahs like all of the mitzvahs that are there to develop our Ben Adam HaChaveray are there for what purpose? They're there to line up our character with that of Hashem, so to speak. Line up our character with that of Hashem. when you develop in you the midah of chesed, what you're doing is making not only your neshama, but your body also a fitting reflection of Hashem, something that is more appropriately bonded with Hashem, because ultimately the body is going to be a part of that bond also. So you want to refine the body. You want to remove its selfish instincts. There are mitzvahs of self-control, arayis. What's the purpose of that? Because the body as is a base thing. Egocentric, focused on itself, and focused on gratifying all kinds of physical drives. That is something that's quite contrary to Hashem. It's very different than what Hashem is. Hashem is something completely pure. We want to refine the body by getting those base instincts under control. Physical pleasures, in and of themselves, are not a problem. But if a person is sunken in physical pleasures, if a person is controlled by physical pleasures, that is a problem. In order to be doimit to Hashem, you have to have all of your functions and faculties and also your drives under your control. You control them. Food doesn't control you. You control food. Your stomach doesn't control you. You control your stomach. This makes you more of a balabais. In the same way that Hashem is a balabais over the universe, you are a balabais over the forces of your body. And there are many mitzvahs like this. And the Kuzari talks about it in this way, that your body can just be one big hefker balagan. All kinds of forces at work that run amok, and you have no control over them. Food pulls you in one direction. When you're provoked, pulls you in another direction. Anger has a mind of its own. Not something that consults with you. It tells you what to do. All kinds of different taivis, lusts, etc. We want to change that to a situation where all of my different character traits are under my control. I dictate when they're used, when they're not, in the same way that Hashem controls the universe. I am supposed to be a king over the whole array of my attributes, of my physical functions, etc. In the same way that a king controls all the different forces in his army, all the different forces in his country, and in the same way that Hashem controls all the great forces that are out there in the world. So yes, the Maharal is telling us, he's introducing, now, after he got us so used to the idea that we're operating on the spiritual level, and that it's mainly about the Neshama, etc., now he is reintroducing the body and the physical back into that system. And he's saying, you know what? Yes, the body is a layer of this also. You want to bring the body into this also. And therefore, yes, we have, when I say the body, by the way, I mean also our whole psyche, because up to now what the Maharal was saying, according to what the Maharal was saying, up to what we were seeing today, no mitzvah necessarily meant to even enhance your awareness of Hashem, except in particular mitzvah of Emunah. It's all just about, no mitzvah is meant to connect you with Hashem in a conscious way. It's all just about the neshama that's above. But now he's telling us that no, we want to take our psyche and we want to take even our body and work as much as we can to get it to be a part of that system. Then you have the Ramchal who goes on at length and says that this is what a person is doing when he is overcoming his urges, when he is doing chesed, developing godly midas in all kinds of different ways. He is elevating and purifying and refining the body. Now he says that in our reality, at this stage of history, we don't see the effects on the body. You can see them in a very faint way. Right? Some of the greatest people, you did see the effects on the body. And also today, you can see people where you see the finesse, the refinement shining through them. But still, it's a coarse body. He says that what happens is that after a person passes away, and the neshama goes up to Gan Eden, which he kind of deems like a place where it waits until the true purpose, when it's rejoined with the body, and the body is interred in the ground, he says that that is a process. The body being in the ground is a process of now enabling the coarseness of the body to disintegrate and enabling the body ultimately, when it's rejoined, the Tchias HaMesim, it emerges all the efforts that you put into refining your body will then be manifest. It's when it's in the ground that it sheds the coarse elements of physicality that were basically keeping everything you were doing to them, keeping the glow of the body itself, the glow of the body itself, that were keeping it concealed. But these are shed and refined in the grave, and what ultimately will emerge will be a physical body. The Ramchal says that a physical body, but a much more refined physicality. I don't know what that looks like. Probably quite spiritual relative to the physical that we know. But this is the idea. This is we've added an added layer to our discussion up till now. We're joining. So what the Maharal is basically doing is, after he told us, don't bring all the mitzvahs down from the spiritual spheres into the physical, he's saying, now let's do the opposite. Let's take the physical spheres and merge them, join them with that whole spiritual system, and make it really be a part of it. Be'ezus Hashem, let's be zeiche to live up to these very sublime zones that the Maharal is introducing us to. We'll stop the recording and then unmute and part.